For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, November the 23rd, 2018, Carter B. Todd is the speaker of the evening, teaching on To Be Effective in the Kingdom. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Listen, if Jesus walked in here right today, remember when you were in school, the teacher walked up and said, get out a pen and a piece of paper? Pop test. Oh, I hated those things. I was a terrible test taker. Suppose Jesus walked in here today. Pop test. Okay, this is how we're going to judge whether or not you are a believer. Have you cast out any demons in my name? Have you spoken with new tongues? Have you taken up serpents? You know, if you look that word up, it means a cunning, conniving person. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Don't go drinking poison. We're not going to bring out a box of snakes and play with them. And we're not going to drink poison. But if I was on a mission somewhere and somebody tried to poison me, he's telling me, it's not going to hurt me. But I'm going to tell you what, you better be blessed in everything that goes in your mouth. This day and time, you should do it anyway. He says that when you receive it with thanksgiving, it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Bless your food. Bless your bottles of water. I bless my coffee every morning. Lord, thank you for this coffee. I like coffee. Thank you for it. And I ask you to bless it. I was asked at a conference recently to bless the food. And I thought, oh, no. I kind of sheepishly went and said, you might not like my blessing, but I got it from Jesus. He just simply thanked God and passed it out. I don't have a 20-minute thank you for the food prayer. Lord, we thank you for this food. We ask you to bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it. Okay. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Here's the part that settled being nervous. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. Can you imagine? Jesus just said that to him, and then all of a sudden he's going up. He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. He just wants us to do what he said. You know, I don't wait till I feel anointed to go do something. Because what God has taught me is that when I obey his word, the anointing meets me there. He says, he's going to work with you. If you go, he's going to work with you. Don't ever be afraid to do it. It's not up to you. People say, well, what if they don't get healed? I said, that's none of my business. I just should obey what he told me to do. So, I tell people, when they're sick or whatever their problem is, look it up in the Bible. What did they do? Is any among you sick? I think it would probably be an easier question to ask. How many people here are absolutely, totally well? No aches, pains, you know. And that's where we he's given us. He shed his blood. Oh, that's another one, a bonus I want to tell y'all. Paul asked three times for to be healed. And Paul's telling the story, and he says, "And he said to me," and it's in red in this account, "My grace is sufficient for thee." So Paul turns around and says, "Well, I'm going to glory in my infirmities then." Okay, Paul, go ahead. You know, but I take it this way. He asked three times, and Jesus told him, "My grace is sufficient. You know, receive your healing now. My grace, I shed every drop of my blood. There's nothing left. It's sufficient." That word sufficient means enough to take care of whatever it is. So his grace is sufficient. So when I pray for someone for healing, I apply the healing and then I say, "And now I apply to you the grace that is sufficient." It is sufficient. Every need you will ever have, his grace is sufficient. He said, all of your needs, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You know, when Hagar was run out of the camp, she ran out of water and food. She put her boy under one bush and she went over to another bush. Pretty sure they were both crying. But the scripture says, God heard the lad. So little children, don't hesitate to cry out to God. He heard the lad. But what did he do? He opened Hagar's eyes, and she saw a well of water. Not a bottle of water, not a jug. A well. That's more than enough, isn't it? That was more than she needed at the moment. She could stay by that well and have water for as long as she needed water. But how come she didn't see the well a while ago? Because it's in the spirit realm. See, the kingdom of God is here. Everything is here. So, Lord, open our spiritual eyes to see the provision. He demonstrated it the whole time he was on earth. "Hey, Jesus, they're here to collect the taxes. Okay, you guys go down there and fish. And the first fish you catch, pull the money out of his mouth." I'm amazed. I think the miracle is they went fishing. I mean, how many of us would go, how many times have you ever found money in a fish's mouth? And one day I read that, it just tickled me. I said, "Lord, I wonder what kind of fish that was." Wasn't expecting an answer, but later in the day I heard, "It was a holy mackerel." I bet that's where that came from. A holy mackerel. That's what we say, "Holy mackerel." Got my foot caught in the tambourine. Thank you, Jesus, that I didn't fall backwards. Okay. Now, when you understand, okay, here's, Jesus was God sent. He did what the Father said and did. He was the Word made flesh. That's why he was called Emmanuel, God with us. Filled with the power of God, equal with God, in Philippians 2, 5, and 7. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Do you know that if you are saved, you have the mind of Christ? You have the mind of Christ. I sometimes activate it. I'll be having a whoo day and just go, "Okay, Lord, I activate the mind of Christ right now." My mother, "Well, I hope I don't get Alzheimer's." I said, "Mama, do you belong to Jesus?" "Yes." "Then your family tree goes to God the Father, and I guarantee you he didn't have Alzheimer's." Get rid of the fear, and every time it comes to you, just say, "It is written, I have the mind of Christ, and Christ does not have Alzheimer's. Now shut up and go." They're tormentors. That's what you need to start doing to the tormentors. He's a liar. So God told me, "Hey, when he comes with the lie, start praising me for the opposite." So that's what I do. Okay, I've got all three of your children. Wait a minute. No, you do not. They were all had received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They were baptized into Him. And I don't care what it looks like right now, but they will serve the Lord their God. Amen. Now get.
Amen.
That's what you got to do with the tormentors. Because if you don't, they just are going to have a field day with you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's a scary statement. In Romans 8:29, I'm not going to try to quote that either, because I'll leave something out. Romans 8:29, you know, sometimes people say, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know my destiny, that word. Let me help you out a little bit. Romans 8:29. Well, I'll start with 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. That's important. To them who are called according to purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's your purpose. We are to be constantly being conformed to the image of Jesus. He was the firstborn of God, the Son of God, and we are his brethren. You are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ and joint heirs with him. That's powerful. So we need to know who we are. That caused me, when I was healed of depression, I can pretty surely say that if not for God, not for healing, not for deliverance, I would be standing here today. Because the devil had me on a fast track to self-destruction. Depression, self-hatred, suicidal. I was going to a psychiatrist because that's what, you know, I knew I had some crazy thoughts. And on TV, that's what crazy people do. They go to the psychiatrist. I went to a psychiatrist. He didn't have the answers. He didn't have the answers. But one night, I was touched by Jesus and instantly healed of depression, and a lot of demons left me because he poured his love into me and it healed me. His love, that perfect love that cast out all fear. There was a time I wouldn't even ride an elevator. I was so claustrophobic, oh my gosh, scared of bugs. Run 2 miles down the beach from a bee. You know they want to get the ones, they want to get around the ones that don't like them. That bee wouldn't bother anybody else, but there was a big old black bumblebee. And I had an umbrella, and I was making an absolute fool. You know what, though? When fear grips you, you don't care. Everybody just, all I knew was I had to save myself from that bee. Now I take dominion over them. You know, we've been given dominion. And you'll get mocked for it. So I took dominion. I forgot. Well, they'll never have dominion. Genesis 1:26, God gave it to us. Why wouldn't I use it? Listen, I'm a quick study. If he said I got it, I got it. And you're not talking me out of it. We'll need that too. God wants us to look like Jesus. He wants us to talk like Jesus. He wants us to act like Jesus. And he wants us to do like Jesus. But there are many things that will keep us from doing it. You know, he was talking about witchcraft earlier. I guarantee you, if we joined a witch coven today or a satanic church, they would teach us right away the power that we have. Probably give you a book, teach you how to do some spells and hexes and vexes and all that stuff. But we go to church and nobody tells us that we have anything. In fact, that pretty much tell you ain't got nothing. Don't even mention his name. Listen, God wants us to know how the devil works. He wants us to know. If you don't know, he's going to do a job on you. So we have to know. This is not taking anything that doesn't belong to us. These are the things that he has given us. And here's the other thing. You may not feel worthy, and without Jesus, you're not. Okay? Without Jesus, you're not. I never understood that scripture that your righteousness is as filthy rags. I used to have a problem with that. But now I understand it. Without him, you have no righteousness, and you can't get righteous other than through Jesus Christ. And it bothers me to hear Christians say, I'm not even worthy to stand back here. I want to say, well, sit down then. I'm sorry. That's a slap in his face to me. I am very protective of my God. You know, my mama says, well, Pumpkin, don't you think God is in control of everything? I said, Mama, do you believe that God was in control of those planes flying into the Twin Towers? What are you saying? That's not my God. If you don't factor in the enemy, it's all God. If you factor in the enemy, you'll see whose fingerprint is on it. He settled it for me with John 10:10. The thief comes not but to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and more abundantly. Because I used to say, well, Lord, was that you? Did you do that, or was that the devil? Or, I stayed in confusion all the time until he showed me that. Draw a line down the middle of paper. Put Satan on one side. Put me on the other side. Now, let's take that situation where the young mother got out of her car to go get something, and her toddler got out of the car and was behind the car, and she jumps back in the car, backs up, and kills the baby. Whose fingerprints are on that? Does that come under steal, kill, and destroy?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Did God let that happen? No. It happened. It's not an accident. Satan was orchestrating that. He will set up things and orchestrate it. That's why we need to know how he works. That's why I bind all those witches before I do anything every day. I bind the spirits of the witch, the wizard, the warlock, the witch doctors, send out the warring angels to scramble every plan and assignment that the enemy has against me and my family. I break every word spoken, curse being spoken by the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Because there are people who, out of jealousy or for whatever reason, they'll speak. Well, I hope they're not able to get that new house. Why should they have that new house? We don't have a new house. Jealousy and all of that, it's witchcraft. We better know how to handle the witchcraft. One girl said, but who am I? I don't know anybody that, I don't know any witches that would be putting, listen, you belong to Jesus Christ? That's like being in the U.S. Army over fighting in a war. They don't know you as an individual, and they don't care. You're wearing the uniform, and they're going to kill you if they can. That's how we're in a war. A war. But we have everything we need. We have everything. He has equipped us, and it's time for the church to understand that we are equipped and start using our equipment. A lot of nonsense has stopped since I've learned how to bind all those things. So you may not feel worthy, but the one who you are the vessel to is worthy. You don't have to wait till you feel worthy. You don't have to wait till you feel righteous. Jesus is in there every second of every minute of every hour of every day. He's not active. He's not taking a break. He's not active sometime and not. No, he's there, and he never sleeps. Your spirit never sleeps. You're worthy because he is worthy. when he healed me, and I understood. That's when I really understood. Jesus, I gave my life for you. For you. And my response was, then Lord, I mean, you gave your life, so you're up there. So I give you my life. You live in me. Come and continue to do what you did when you were here through me. And then I understood what it meant to give your body a living sacrifice. I'm alive, and I have the right, if I want to live my life apart from God. But I don't want to do that. And I'm saying, Lord, come live your life through me. Now, if we all do that, then, when people get sick, we would pray for them. And while I have a room full of men, I want to share this with you. Ephesians 5:23. If you have your Bible, I want you to look it up, because it's important. Because we're talking about position. I want to ask you a question. If any of us ran for president and we got it, we were elected, and we're not sworn in yet, do you have any presidential power?
No.
If you're not sworn in, you have no presidential power. But the minute you stand and are sworn in, he has all the power that belongs to the office of the President of the United States. And nothing even happened. Nothing happened to the man. See, it has nothing to do with the man. It has to do with the office. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with Jesus. It has to do with the president. It has to do with the office that he holds. Now, have y'all gotten to Ephesians 5:23? Men, women, you can listen to this too. This says, and it's been misused terribly, but this is what the word says. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You know what I learned that means? If I'm going to go to my husband and ask him something, and this happened years and years ago, I was invited to a retreat, and I really needed to go. I had been healed of depression, but I could feel the pressure. I could feel that thing wanting to come back on me. And my aunt, another aunt, saw that I needed a break. So they were going to take me to a retreat. All expenses paid. But it was Thanksgiving weekend. And my husband and I are both very family oriented. And I knew that Mike was not going to want me to go out of town on a family holiday. So I was in a pickle. So I said, Lord, I need this. I really need this for to go and be refreshed and have my spirit fed and all those things. I needed it, but I knew that Mike wasn't going to be in favor of it. But Lord, and I want to be a submissive wife. So what I'm going to do, Lord, I'm telling you how I feel, and I'm letting my desire be made known to you. But when I ask Mike, I want you to put your answer for me in his mouth. And whatever he says, I will take it as your word to me. Still thought he was going to say no. So he came home from work, and I told him, Aunt Frank called, she wants to take me on this retreat. The only thing is, it's Thanksgiving weekend. I mean, I'll be gone the whole weekend, Thanksgiving Day included. And he was quiet, and I was holding my breath. And then he said, well, I'll be off work Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so I could watch the kids, so you can go. I was like, Lord, submission is good, as unto the Lord. See, I used to think I just needed to ask Mike, and whatever Mike said, I had to do. That's the way it's kind of been used wrong. You have to do whatever your husband said. Well, go to the Lord first. Submit unto the Lord, and then submit to your husband. So it's good. Verse 23. For the husband. Now, if you understand grammar, you understand that the subject of this sentence is the husband. Is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. And he, back to the subject, the husband, is the Savior, little s. Now, I looked this up because I thought, Lord, am I looking at this wrong? So I did some investigating. The word Savior is used 23 times in the New Testament, and everywhere else in the New Testament, it is capitalized, capital S, Savior of the body, capital B, body of Christ. Okay? But this is saying that the husband is the head of the wife, even as all the Jesus Christ is the priest of the church. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. He has all power, all authority, anointing, everything that Jesus is in the church. Guys, you are in your home. That's powerful. So when wives, when you're feeling bad, now remember this is a position. The position of the husband has nothing to do with whoever the husband is. Really? Go to your husband. I got a headache. Would you pray for me? You won't believe. You just won't believe what will happen. Because when he stands in that place, and he understands it. That's why I like to share it when I have some men around. So you know who you are in your home, over your children, over your husband, over your wife. Pray for her. If she's being tormented, bind that demon and command it to get out in the name of Jesus. That's what Jesus did. Everywhere he went, the demons cried out. And that's another thing about being the vessel. It's not going to be long. You're going to just be minding your own business, and the demons are going to cry out because of who is in you, and you need to know what to do with them when they show up. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Use your power. Okay, so now that we have builded and planted, we're going to do some rooting and some pulling down and some destroying of spirits that may be working in you to keep you from really knowing who you are in Christ, where you are positioned with Christ, the power that you have, and then beginning to use it. So, Father, right now, I just cover every person with the blood of Jesus. I call on the angels to assist. I bind every demon of distraction, every demon that would just want to make a show, I bind it right now in the name of Jesus. And I bind right now, let me go back to this. I was going to do this in the beginning. Randy kind of did it for me. But I'm going to do it now. I bind every generationally inherited spirit of Antichrist that came down your family line, from your mother's side and your father's side. I break that Antichrist spirit off of you right now. From all religious spirits, from whatever religion you were in that minimized Jesus Christ and the power that he has given you, I bind and break the power of those religious spirits, and I command them to get out right now. Every religious spirit that's holding you back, you go in the name of Jesus. I bind all doubt and unbelief. All doubt. Well, I don't know about that. Look it up in the Word and believe the Word of God. All doubt and unbelief. You go. Get out in Jesus' name. I bind and break the evil heart of unbelief. There's such a thing as an evil heart of unbelief. I bind it and break its power now. I command it to go in Jesus' name. All skepticism. All offenses, even generationally inherited offenses. So-and-so back all that time ago did something, and we don't speak to that family. That's a generationally inherited curse of the spirit of offense. I break that spirit now in Jesus' name and command it to get out of God's people. All lying spirits, All lying spirits, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. The spirits that cause you to lie and the spirits that cause you to believe a lie. And I bind the spirit that lies to yourself and then believes your own lie. I bind that too in Jesus' name. That's called deception. In Jesus' name. All doctrines of devils, things that you've heard that are not the truth, I bind those things right now in your mind, and I command them to come out in Jesus' name. All mind-binding spirits, all mind-blinding spirits, you go in the name of Jesus. Come out of their minds right now in Jesus' name. All spiritual deafness, spiritual dumbness, spiritual blindness, spiritual paralysis, and incapacitation, you go in the name of Jesus. Get out. Go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of the witch, generational witchcraft that has come down the family line, I break it now. I bind the spirits of the witch, the wizard, the warlock, the witch doctors, medicine men, if you've been involved in tarot cards or Ouija boards, tea leaf reading, and all those things that are in witchcraft, I bind it right now and break it off of you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I come against that spirit of unworthiness. I'm just an old worm. I'm just an old God. That's a spirit of Mephibosheth. If you don't know that story in the Bible, look it up. He was the grandson of King Saul. And he had an inheritance. He had inherited land and a castle. And the servants took it over. And he let them. We do not let Satan have our inheritance. I bind that stupid spirit in Jesus' name. All spirits of fear, go. The spirit of fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. I command all fear, get out. Fear, anxiety attacks, go in Jesus' name. Paralyzed by fear, go in the name of Jesus. And name your fear. I'm scared of roaches. I'm scared of bees. I'm scared of this. I'm scared of that. All fear, get out. Fear of stepping out. Fear of stepping out. I bind you in Jesus' name. I bind the fear of the devil. Scared to mention his name. Scared of what he might do. He's doing all the time, whether you're talking about him or not. I command all those spirits of fear of the devil to get out in Jesus' name. All intimidation, you go. Intimidation, get out. Timidity, you go. All spirits of timidity, go. All spirits of inadequacy. Well, I don't know if I can do that because, no, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of inadequacy. Timidity, go in Jesus' name. Doubt, unbelief. All spirits of deception, I command all spirits of deception come out of the minds right now in Jesus' name. I bind all error. Things that have been taught that were not true. Things that you have believed that were not true. All spirits of error get out right now of God's people in Jesus' name. And I want you to repeat this. Father, right now, I break every oath, covenant, blood covenant, dedication made on my behalf, even when I was in the loins of my forefathers. We break it now. I renounce it right now in the name of Jesus. Now go. Every oath and covenant, blood covenant, dedication that was made by your ancestors, I bind and break the power of ancestor worship right now. You got to worship the same things that your daddy did and your granddaddy did. No. I come against all of that generational ancestor worship. I break it off of you right now. All those traditions that make the Word of God of no effect. No, I break those right now. I command all those traditions to be broken in Jesus' name, whether they were from a religion, a cult, or just family, strong family traditions, you go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I come against spiritual deafness. I've already done that. Deafness, dumbness, blindness, incapacitation, and paralysis. I bind the spirit of pride. Go in Jesus' name. I don't need God. Jesus is for weaklings and, you know, all of those ridiculous things that people have. I bind that spirit of pride right now in Jesus' name. The lust of the eye. I bind the lust of the eye. I command all spirits of lust come out of the eyes right now in Jesus' name. Come out of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. Go in Jesus' name. And the pride of life, being proud of your accomplishments. Our firstborn son was really smart. And you know what I learned later? My daddy, he used to think that he liked to pick at Mike and me. He'd say, "That baby's smarter than you and Mike put together. That baby is smarter than you and Mike put together." And he thought he was giving us a little dig, but what, without realizing that he was blessing our son with intelligence and being really smart. And he is twice as smart. He's more smart than Mike and me put together. People say, "How in the world did he come out of y'all?" I said, "Well, if you understand biology, see, I have a smart gene. It was just recessive." And Mike had a smart gene, but it was recessive. So you get those two negatives together, and hey, that's just making a silliness out of a truth, though. Bless your children. If your children are having trouble in school, lay your hands on their little heads and command every spirit of arrested development to get out in Jesus' name. Fear of math. I did that to my granddaughter. She had an F in math. And it just occurred to me, let me pray for you, because I was terrible. I couldn't even help her with her homework. But she would have a meltdown every day when Mike would try to help her with her math. And so, I mean, my heart went out to her because I've been there. And so I just laid my hands on her head and I broke the bastard curse off of her, because a lot of learning disabilities come from the bastard curse. And then I came against the arrested development and the fear of math. And, you know, she ended up with the second highest grade in the class. That's a miracle. A miracle. And the fear of math. She likes it now. Okay. So you know what? Give it a shot. If you don't know, this may not work or not, but I'm going to give it a shot. I've been amazed at the things that worked when I gave it a shot. It's the name of Jesus, and it's His power. Okay. I come against all family line curses. In fact, right now, I break all the generationally inherited curses that came down your mother's bloodline and your father's bloodline. And I give leave right now. I command to go every familiar spirit. You've heard people say, "Oh, you're just like your Uncle Jeff. You're just like your mother. You're just like your daddy." Those are familiar spirits. He said it. That handshake, that was inherited. He inherited that. We have a lot of things that we inherited that we don't understand where they came from. So I break them and I give leave to those familiar spirits. Every familiar spirit that followed you down your mother's bloodline, go in Jesus' name. And every familiar spirit that came down your father's bloodline, I command you to go now in Jesus' name. Those spirits that would cause you to walk in a way contrary to the plans and purposes that God has for your life. You know, people say, "Well, we have blessings too, you know. It's not all curses and demons." I said, "Well, let me ask you, what blessings are giving you a problem? Are any of your blessings giving you a problem?" That's why I don't talk about blessings. We know what blessings are, and we welcome them. But we don't welcome the demons and the curses. That's what we're dealing with here. We're destroying the works of the devil. Okay, so I want to destroy right now the altar that Satan erected for your life. You know, he does that. He has an altar too. So I destroy that altar right now that Satan erected for your life. I speak destruction to it. And every plan and assignment that the enemy has on your life, I speak destruction to it right now in Jesus' name. I remove the veil of Satan. If you serve Satan for a long time, he puts a veil on you. And he says, "You're my bride." There's a lot that goes along with that. So right now, I just pull the veil of Satan off of your head. I command the scales that are on your eyes to come off right now in Jesus' name. Fall off, just like they fell off of Paul, in the name of Jesus. I come against all critical spirits, the critical eye. You know, we had generational critical spirits in my family. And when I got saved, I didn't want to be a part of that anymore. It's hard to go visit anybody because all they wanted to do was be critical and gossip and talk about people's junk. I didn't want to do that. Let me tell you what happens when you talk about people's junk. You're writing a purchase order for it to come to your house. It's real. You may have problems in your life that you're experiencing just because you judged how somebody else dealt with that thing. So God's giving you a chance to show how you would do it. Judge not, lest you be judged with the same judgment. And with the same measure that you meted out, it's coming back to you. That's a spiritual law, just like gravity. So start repenting. If you have judged people, everything I ever judged, I'm living it. So I'm here to tell you, repent if you've been judging anybody. That's the first thing I ask when people say, I need healing, I have breast cancer. Did you know anybody that had breast cancer? Yeah? Did you judge them? Did you judge how they took care of it? Or, you know, if that was me, I would do this and that and the other. That's judgment. If that's not the case, well, did it run in your family? Did you inherit it? And if it did, we'll break that curse off of you. It's not just a one layered thing. It's got many, many layers. Okay? So I break the pride, not wanting to go to somebody for help if you need it. That's pride. I come against that pride and break it off of your life right now. And I also come against false humility. False humility. The flip side of pride is false humility. Well, I'm just an humble, you know, I'm this. One time somebody was doing that somewhere, and I was looking at that guy, and I said, Lord, what is he doing? What is that? He said, false humility. It stinketh. It's false humility. It's the same thing as pride. That was a big thing in our family. My son wants to get rid of that thing. One day he called the house and he was talking. And I was going, wait, that is just wonderful. That is wonderful. And we got off the phone and Mike said, well, what Wade want? I said, well, you know, he's working really hard on his pride. And today he was so humble and proud of it. That's a slimy thing, that pride thing, and false humility too. Okay, and I also come against spirits of laziness, letting somebody else do it. I'll just leave deliverance to them. You know, it's time consuming, and it's this, and it's that, and the other. No, I bind that lazy spirit and break it off of you. Slothfulness, go in the name of Jesus, and I bind the respecter of persons. Oh, well, they can do it. I couldn't do that. That's a respecter of persons. You know, the disciples said to Jesus, oh, we saw someone casting out demons in your name and we forbade them. They weren't the disciples of Jesus, but they had been following and watching and listening, and they began to do the things that Jesus did in his name, and they were successful. Jesus said, hey, if they're not against me, they're for me. Leave them alone. Don't be afraid to do what Jesus did in his name. So I bind that respecter of persons. Oh, only preachers can do that. You have to be a deliverance minister to do that. No, you don't. If you can recognize it, and sometimes I don't know what the spirit is. They're saying, well, it's doing this. And I said, okay, then that's the spirit I'm talking to, the one that's doing that. I bind you and break your power, and I command you to get out in Jesus' name. You don't have to know their name. You know what it says, that unless you bind the strong man, you can't spoil his house. Well, what is the strong man's name? So what word says strong man? Bind the strong man. And I had a woman manifesting on me one time, and I didn't know what to do. I was doing everything I knew to do, and nothing was happening. And I heard, bind the strong man. So I bound the strong man, and that was the end of that. The strong man. We all have one. So I bind the strong man over every person in this room. I bind the strong man over your family in Jesus' name. You need to bind the strong man over your family in the name of Jesus and command it to go. Don't stop with the binding. Cast it out. Okay, so now we're going to loose some stuff. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I loose, I bound, now I loose the power, your power upon your people. Might, holy boldness, I loose upon you holy boldness. Receive it. Receive it. When you hear it, I receive it, Lord. Thank you. I loose courage in the name of Jesus. I loose bravery on your people. You know when Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer? You know, we think cheer means, it means bold and courageous. That's what cheer means in that use, in that scripture. He wants us to be bold and he wants us to be courageous. So I loose that upon you right now in Jesus' name. I loose upon you the ability through the Word of God and your relationship with Him, revelation knowledge. We need revelation knowledge from God. I loose upon you strength. I loose upon you the faith of God. Loose upon yourself. I activate the faith. If Jesus is in you, there's one scripture that says, the just shall live by faith. I thought that scripture was in there a whole bunch of times. It's used four times, three in the New Testament, once in the Old Testament. The one in the Old Testament says, the just shall live by his faith. You have Jesus Christ in you. He's got faith. That means you have faith, but you have to exercise it like a muscle. I loose upon you the spirit of truth. I loose the spirit of God. I loose upon you a teachable spirit. Father, I ask for a fresh anointing on every person tonight of your Holy Ghost power. And if you've been wanting to receive the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And they received it. Receive it. He wants to give it to you. Receive it. In Jesus' name, I loose upon you. I speak to your ears to be opened so that you will have ears to hear. I loose upon you faithfulness. Faithfulness. I don't care what you're going through. Be faithful no matter what. Don't be wishy-washy. Oh, it's going bad, so I'm just going to go back and live in the world. I hear people say that. It was easier when I lived in the world. I'm just going to go live in the world. I said, you can't do it. I tried. That don't work. Once you belong to him, he don't let go of you. That's what forsake means. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Forsake means let go of. Give yourself to him. I loose upon you a hunger and thirst after his word. I just activate that in your spirit. I speak to your spirit man right now. And I loose a hunger and a thirst after his word. And right now, Father, I strip off the grave clothes that are holding them back. It says that when Lazarus came out, he was bound with grave clothes. And that's what we've been doing all this camp. Every time we have a camp here, we're stripping off grave clothes so that you can walk out the life that he has purposed for you successfully. I just bind and break every spirit of failure in Jesus' name. And Lord, I bless your people tonight. I ask you to bless them. A fresh anointing of your love, a fresh anointing of your peace, a fresh anointing of your joy. And I bind every spirit of backlash and retaliation right now that when they lay down to go to sleep tonight, I assign angels. And y'all need to start doing this. If you have trouble sleeping or you have nightmares, Lord, I bind every spirit that would come to torment me in my sleep. And I stand the angels of God around me to watch over me while I sleep in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's it. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.